Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Innermost is supported by Vodafone. Whether it's friends, family, or, in our case, complete strangers, keeping connected has never been so important. Which is where Vodafone's unlimited data plans come in. To find out more, head over to vodafone.co.uk.
Welcome back to Innermost, a podcast about strangers and their secret lives. I'm Leia Green, and this is episode 4.
And, you know, I came home that day and I told my husband, this may seem like nothing to most people because everyone learns this. It feels just like the most monumental, you know, thing.
Even if I've, you know, gone to prep school or gone to college or am now in graduate school, am I safe? Absolutely not.
This week, a woman revisits an embarrassing moment from her childhood that she's only just shaking off. And a man tells me how an awkward misstep by a classmate brought his race and hers into sharp focus. That's after this short break.
Imagine how hard lockdown would have been without tech. Video calls kept you connected. Online grocery deliveries kept you fed, and your smartphone kept you sane, even if that did largely involve sharing cat gifts with friends. But not everyone has a digital device during lockdown. According to Barnardo's, 300,000 young people and children are affected by digital poverty, harming their ability to keep connected or get the right educational resources. You can help by donating unwanted smartphones or tablets to Vodafone's Great British Tech Appeal to support Barnardo's, British Red Cross, and Save Lives. And it won't cost you a penny. Your device will be data wiped and packaged with 3 months of free unlimited connectivity. So, not only can young people access crucial online resources for surviving lockdown, they too can share cat gifts. To donate, visit vodafone.co.uk/techappeal.
Hello?
Oh, hi, is that Hema?
Yeah, it's Hema. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. This is Leia from The Guardian. How are you doing?
Good. Very excited. My name is Hema Bodegala. I am 36. I now live in Amsterdam, Netherlands, but I'm originally from the US and then before that, India. For whatever reason, I didn't really get on a bicycle to properly learn till I was about 10. And at the time, we were living in Hyderabad in India. And over the summer, whenever my brother was out playing cricket or something, I'd take his bike and I'd practice. But one day, as I got more comfortable, I decided to go downhill. And because I was comfortable, I wasn't using the brakes as much either. I was feeling pretty good about it. And I was like, yeah, I look cool now. I look like one of the kids who does this all the time. And as I was on that high, I hit this bump or a rock or something and completely lost balance. And the bike just kept going. got onto the wider street, which was sort of a T-junction. And at the end of that T-junction was this flagpole. Hit the flagpole, fell over to my side, and just about sat up. And I looked up, and of course, my brother, all of his friends who were playing cricket were in the vicinity. So of course they stopped playing, looked over at me and were laughing. And there were a few kids who looked over to my brother and said, "Isn't that your sister?" I just remember the look on my brother's face. He, you know, I think he was pretty embarrassed, maybe for me, but maybe for himself as well. And he started walking over to me, but I was just so mortified that I just quickly got up on the bike and I was kind of bruised up and scratches on my knees and hands and just walked up the hill back to the house and just went home.
Being kind of then a teenager and then a young adult and then an adult who couldn't ride a bike, like how much impact did that actually have on you? Like, when did it come to the surface?
Yeah, I think I was able to avoid, you know, having to be on a bicycle pretty easily. I was driving by then. And so I just, you know, I'd say, "Oh, I'll grab my car, I'll meet you there."
You know, what's really interesting is, like, at no point do you just say to your friends, "Oh, I don't know how to ride a bike." Like, why?
I don't know. I mean, you just feel embarrassed. You feel like you're not up to par in some way as an adult.
Hello?
Hi, Bernard. It's Leia.
Hi, Leia. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for calling. My name is Bernard. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I am a graduate MFA student in creative writing. I think I was on the couch in my apartment and I had saw a video on my Facebook feed or maybe in an Instagram story, and I was appalled. I mean, I was appalled and then I was afraid. It was the week after George Floyd had died. It was a couple of days after I had gone to my first protest, early in June. And I got a notification on my phone, and a friend had sent me $30 for lunch. Also, she iMessaged me saying that the news is really difficult to watch right now, and here's some money so you don't have to worry about cooking and the news, effectively.
What did you first think when you saw that?
I mean, I thought that this is a crazy moment. I even laughed because I was so shocked. I was like, this is crazy. This is a smart person who is very compassionate and, like, you, for lack of a better word, woke. So I wouldn't expect her to make an error like this. But of course, she's a white American woman, and I understand that my classmate probably felt guilty and that her guilt is probably in the right place. So, and that's frustrating and insulting. And it seems to be more motivated or more targeted at absolving or comforting whatever guilt she may feel. But $30 personalizes what's happening in this country when, frankly, it's really not a personal matter. Police brutality, what happened to George Floyd. This is a matter of a country that still hasn't reconciled with its history.
One thing about isolation is it offers you a great opportunity for self-reflection, which is something we don't have a whole lot of time for in the modern day. And I knew it was going to be a challenge, but kind of one thing, I remember years ago, I went in a Krav Maga boot camp in London, and it was very rewarding, but it was grueling. And I remember at one point in the middle of the week, one of the instructors said, "I'm going to make you suffer, because when you're suffering, you're learning." So that's something that's always stuck to me. So whenever I face a situation that I know is going to be challenged, I think, right, okay, how can I learn here? What am I going to learn?
We actually met like online, and because he lives in the States, so he had come to India in October last year. So we just met once. Finally, we got married in March because we really didn't have a choice. I mean, he couldn't come again or something. So, but thankfully it has worked out fine because this lockdown gave us a lot of time to get to know each other.
My name is Saskia. I'm 47 years old and I live in the Black Forest in southwestern Germany. I get unhappy and I feel out of sorts when I don't create stuff. I do a lot of sewing, mostly clothes for my children. I also paint rocks with messages that I like to hide in places for people to find.
How did you decide to properly learn how to ride a bike, and what was that process like?
When we moved to Amsterdam, we decided not to get a car because we were, you know, we're living in sort of the center of the city, and don't, you know, one, there's no parking, two, you can get around everywhere with either public transport or the major mode of transportation here, which is to be on your bicycle. So, you know, ended up Googling for an instructor and found this one Australian instructor, actually, who's been living here for a few years, giving lessons to adults as well as, you know, anybody. Anyway, after the first lesson, it really felt like some long lost miracle. I was balancing myself on a bicycle again. It feels just like the most monumental, you know, thing. And, you know, I came home that day and I told my husband, and this may seem like nothing to most people because everyone learns this, but for an adult, your level of appreciation just changes. And it was just a really big deal to me. And I remember saying all of these things to my instructor, and I think he got it, but I think he was also like, it's not that big of a deal.
I can so imagine doing that where you're like, honestly, I never thought this would happen. And they're just like, I'm just doing my job, man. I don't really care.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think my body could do this, but yes. Anyway, so then we got into the center of the city. I was feeling pretty good about myself because, you know, being on a bicycle path was the ultimate goal. And by this point, I was about 5 lessons in, maybe. It was good. It was going well. And then all of a sudden, the right side of my neck was itching. Like, something was biting me, maybe. And I was, you know, I just had to scratch my neck. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to come off the cycle path. The front wheel stayed straight, and I just toppled over and fell off the bicycle. Even though it was lockdown times, and even though there weren't a lot of people, there were enough people to you know, come over to me, because I was just, it was embarrassing all over again. It was my 10-year-old self all over again.
Were you all like tangled up in a really ungraceful
way?
Yeah.
Yes. My blouse was sort of over the handlebar, and the handlebar was like into my right rib.
Oh, no.
And it was just so, I was mortified. I mean, it was, and of course it was like Corona times. So, you know, when I fell, people did come over to try and help me up, but like I was, you know, I didn't want them touching me, and they didn't want to really touch me because, you know, some people had gloves on or masks on. So, you know, it was like this dance of us, of people trying to be nice and help me up.
But did you feel this time like, were you able to get over it in a way that maybe you weren't when you were 10?
Yeah. And it's so weird for the first, you know, 20 seconds, I just went, oh my God, not again. And then like a minute later, I think something was different this time. You know, I was able to just laugh about it. And I think that's the difference as an adult, as you get older, you do in certain things, you just get better at looking at yourself and just laughing at yourself.
How How friendly are you with this woman? How well do you know each other?
I mean, I'm in a small graduate program, so it's like a creative writing workshop. I wouldn't text this person once a month to see how they're doing, but it wouldn't be weird if this person texted me and asked me how I was doing. I would consider ourselves to be friendly, but we're not friends.
What did you do in response to this?
My immediate response is I sent the money back to her.
Did you say anything when you sent it back?
I recognized that I wasn't at a place to calmly articulate what was wrong about what she did. And I frankly wasn't at a place where I understood why I was so affected by what she did. I said, hi, her name. I'm okay. Thank you for reaching out. I'm going to send your request back. I appreciate the thought. I have everything I need. Thank you. All the best.
Do you struggle for money? Like, is there a world in which she thought that you would need $30?
I don't think so. So to answer your question, no, I have everything that I need. Yeah, no. I've never expressed to her that I had been wanting for something or that I was in need of something.
And the implication in her gesture is that by virtue of who you are, you're in need, right?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think that she sent that money to everyone in the program. I am the only African-American in the program. And I suspect that I was the only one to receive $30 from the student because I'm Black.
I'm interested that you said you didn't want to get into a conversation with her about why you felt that this was inappropriate. And it's something I think I've felt too in the last few weeks talking with my white friends, and it takes a lot of energy, right?
It is sort of cumbersome to be this advisor on kind of white behavior in response to racial turmoil. But I mean, I have lots of friends, white friends, and I sort of fear when people reach out and asking me for advice on how they should respond to what's happening. I feel as though they're putting the burden on the entire Black community on me. And that's also cumbersome because I really resist this notion that there can be such a thing as a monolithic Black experience. It's like this weird kind of backward or backslapping, backhanded, like white man's burden type response. There's a comment to be made on the fact that there is literature out there for, you know, come correct white liberals who want to respond appropriately to what's happening, right? But nowhere does it say to Venmo a classmate $30 for lunch. Do I think differently about my classmate because she erred? And is my response to her error truly appropriate? There's really nothing really wrong with someone making a mistake and then redoubling their effort with new information. And I think that requires a little bit of tolerance and patience and forgiveness. You see what I'm saying? Because I would hate for this mistake that my classmate made to prevent her from supporting this cause in the future.
Hello, I am Rodrigo Cortez. I'm 28 years old and I'm Brazilian. You know, the real reason I felt like writing it to you, it was just like a symbol for me about this, how important it is to give ourselves a time to allow silence to come in. Because many times we have so many decisions to make in this routine, in this vortex, and we see life just pushing us in all directions and we don't even know what we want.
I know a couple of friends who got married. Like, you figure out so many things after maybe a year of marriage, because, you know, you work, both of you have your working lives and you're busy. But for us, what happened was these 2.5 months, we just had each other for company. So a lot of things which came up, maybe you could have actually come up after a year or something. So probably this is good for us because it is like completely, the world is cut off. So we only have each other. and we had to deal with it.
I have to admit, I didn't know whether I was going to say this, but I also can't ride a bike. Oh. Which is why I know. So I totally get it.
That makes you feel like this camaraderie. Yeah.
And you're just like, oh man, everyone can do this.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like until you meet those people who for whatever reason they lived in some area they couldn't or didn't. And how about you? Why
like I think I'm just lazy. I definitely learned how to ride a bike, but I grew up in Sheffield, which is really hilly, and that's my excuse. But I forgot how to ride a bike, which is supposedly impossible, but it is not impossible, it turns out. I know it's a weird thing, and it's like a secret club. When you meet someone else, you're like, oh, me too.
I hope you'll use my story to try and get yourself on a bike.
I will update you. If I do,
that'd be great.
Let you know.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Innermost. And thank you so much for people who have left a rating or a review. It really, really helps people to find us. And I've loved reading your emails. If anyone has a story that they'd like to be included in the podcast, we are still listening. So please email me at innermost@theguardian.com. This episode was produced by me, Leia Green, and Esther Apoku-Jenny. The music and sound design is by Pascal Wise, and the executive producer is Max Sanderson. See you next time.
Don't take this the wrong way, but your smartphone is cleverer than you. The clue is in its name. Well, that and a new project to fight COVID-19 that uses the almighty processing power that goes untapped at night. And they're not talking about your brain. Working with Imperial College London, the Vodafone Foundation's DreamLab app utilises people's mobiles while they sleep to create a virtual supercomputer. If they can get 100,000 people to fire up the app nightly for 3 months, they can analyse potential COVID-19 treatments that would take Imperial supercomputers a year. The more people who take part, the quicker it will be to do the vital research to help fight COVID-19. So show your smartphone who's the real brains of the operation. Turn it into part of the Dream Team, because that's the cleverest decision anyone can make. To download the app, search for DreamLab in your phone's app store. Legal terms apply. See vodafone.co.uk/DreamLab. The Vodafone Foundation is a registered charity.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.